This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us for the next few minutes to talk about a new prenatal test for Down syndrome, which could be good news, although in the wrong hands, one never knows. Colleen Carol Campbell, she's host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and appears regularly with us here on Issues Etc. every week. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Is this new prenatal test for Down syndrome good news or bad news?
Well, unfortunately, given the astronomical abortion rates right now for Down syndrome, for children diagnosed prenatally with Down syndrome, it's probably bad news. This new test would be a simple blood test taken as early as the ninth week of pregnancy that could tell you not only if your child has Down syndrome, but also everything from, you know, your child's future height to future risk of depression and even chances of contracting, developing Alzheimer's disease. So this has been called the holy grail of prenatal screening and a real game changer, as some scientists have put it. But unfortunately, what we know with abortion rates in this country when it comes to a diagnosis like Down syndrome, it very well could be a death sentence for those children whose mothers would find out so early. Before, of course, they feel their baby move, before anyone even knows they're pregnant, that they're carrying a child with Down syndrome. And with all the pressure to abort, I think, unfortunately, it will probably result in more abortions.
Someone who has become, whether she wanted to or not, in many ways kind of the poster girl for Down syndrome, along with her son Trigg, is Sarah Palin. There was a document dump, if you will, recently on the press of her emails and correspondence while governor of Alaska. What did we discover there?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot that was newsworthy, which was kind of funny with the way people were scrambling to pick up these 300-pound packs of emails and sort through them. But one thing that did come out, and this had come out earlier for those who were paying close attention, but hadn't gotten a lot of widespread press, and that was the letter that Sarah Palin drafted for her own family shortly before giving birth to her youngest son, Trigg, who, of course, has Down syndrome. And she described, as she wrote this letter, she did so in the voice of God and sort of imagined what Trigg's creator might say about this child and what the family should expect. And it was really quite poignant. In fact, even many of her critics, or at least some of her critics, you know, gave her credit for choosing to look at her child as a gift and his condition as a conduit for grace rather than a curse. She talked about how, you know, he would have more challenges, but he would also bring his parents more joy than they ever imagined, and he would be someone who could help them put things in perspective and sort of let go of the world's idea of a normal or a perfect baby, since, as she said, again, using sort of this imaginary, taking on this persona of how the Creator might look at him, saying, you know, none of you are exactly normal or perfect. Have you looked at what you celebrate lately down there? So, you know, this is God talking to the family via Sarah Palin. That's sort of how she framed. And, of course, some people made fun of it, who writes a letter supposedly in the voice of God and all the rest of it. But I think a lot of people saw it for what it was, and it was a mother who is a woman of faith choosing to look through the eyes of faith at this child who she decided would be a gift. And despite the fact that she's admitted that she was pretty bowled over when she first got that prenatal diagnosis.
So what do we know about parents who, bucking the trend, as you said, 92% of children diagnosed prenatally with Down syndrome are aborted? What do we know about those 8%?
Well, they're a very special slice of people. And I've had the privilege to come to know some of them both. When I was a child, my father spent years advocating on the rights of the mentally disabled, including children with Down syndrome. And then also, just more recently, on my EWTN show, Faith and Culture, I had on two women, Eileen Haupt and Leticia Velasquez, who recently founded a group known as Keep Infants with Down Syndrome, or KIDS. And their whole goal is to speak out about the reality of raising children with Down syndrome, which they've found to be one that, yes, while challenging, also has brought them a great deal of joy, helped their other children learn compassion and appreciation for diversity, and really transform their lives in a very positive way. So that's the story that from their experience and from what they're hearing from other, especially mothers confronted by obstetricians who are very negative when describing this prenatal diagnosis, they're trying to spread the word that there's another side to this that 92% doesn't know about and doesn't represent. And so, you know, they're spreading the word about the research that's being done on Down syndrome, about the strides that people with Down syndrome are making every year, breaking new barriers, whether it's holding down new and different kinds of jobs, you know, breaking athletic records for people with Down syndrome, getting married. You know, they're really mainstreaming into society more and more. Unfortunately, that abortion rate keeps climbing higher and higher. So we're still seeing far fewer of them than we should expect to be seeing, especially given that the rates of Down syndrome births should be rising quite a bit as women give birth to children later, since your chances of conceiving a child with Down syndrome are much higher when you give birth later. But because of these better or at least more accurate prenatal screenings, more and more women are finding out much earlier that they have a child with this. And as I mentioned earlier, that you know they haven't felt the child kick. The child already sort of doesn't feel real that early in the pregnancy, so it can be very tempting to just say, I don't want to deal with this, and have the abortion before anyone even knows one is pregnant.
Could it also be, in the best of all possible worlds, the opportunity for a couple to use that almost 9 months, since they can screen so early, to prepare?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the argument for it. And that's why it really comes down to a personal decision. And in fact, these founders of this organization, KIDS, were pretty emphatic about that. They personally did not choose to screen. They were both adamantly pro-life, knew it wouldn't really change anything. And they were happy with that decision. But they did speak of women that they had encountered who were glad they found out so they could get prepared and get used to the idea that this is not going to be the child I expected. It's going to be a different child and a wonderful, worthy child all the same. So, you know, you could really see it both ways. But I think, unfortunately, often people are feeling very vulnerable at the time of a prenatal diagnosis. And again, there have been studies showing that a lot of physicians and healthcare providers who deliver this news are doing so with very outdated information about what Down syndrome does, about the kind of life a child can lead with Down syndrome. And so they're really painting a very negative picture that's contributing to that astronomical abortion rate.
Well, let's call it what it is then, Colleen. We still have a eugenics movement. It doesn't go by that name in the United States, but it certainly is there. And it's found in obstetricians' offices and abortion clinics and you name it. How does that movement regard an unborn child with Down syndrome?
As expendable, as disposable, as a flawed genetic product that needs to be replaced with something better. And I think it's important to remember that this new reinvigorated eugenics movement is not just targeting children with Down syndrome. That's sort of the easy target, but we're also moving into a place where you can find out at 9 weeks, again, if this new test proves viable, and they're talking about it coming out within a year, you can find out with a simple blood test, as I said, if your child's going to be a little bit on the short side. Maybe you didn't want a short child, or he's going to have brown eyes and you wanted one with blue eyes, or you know, he looks like he might develop depression and you don't want to deal with that. And so suddenly you're really moving into the realm of this designer baby, this sense of looking over a child's DNA before he or she ever arrives outside the womb and deciding this is, you know, kind of thumbs up or thumbs down on this human being that God has given me. And it's a very warped way to look at the world. It's, of course, you know, odd that most of those making these calls probably would flunk that test themselves, at least in someone's eyes. You know, eugenics is always about the next guy doesn't seem fit, but I'm fine, you know. So it's really frightening. And I think what we've seen with the Down syndrome abortion rate is just a harbinger of things to come. And that's why if we can push back on this high abortion rate and tell the true and joyful stories of these children and adults, I think we can begin to maybe turn that tide around.
With about 30 seconds here, Colleen, why is it more important as we gain the ability to look, literally look into the womb earlier and earlier, and through tests like this, to determine the condition of the unborn? Why is it more important than ever for us to protect the unborn and champion the value, the dignity of human life at every stage of development?
Well, because basically we've got these new tools and we don't have the ethics to keep up with them, and that's what we need. So, as you said, it is more important than ever that we do this, and it's more important than ever that we be very clear when we speak about this to our friends and colleagues and in the public square that the nature of the dignity of the human person is that it's intrinsic to the human person. You have innate dignity and a right to life because you are human, not because how you look, not because what kind of health you're in, not because you do or do not have a certain syndrome. And we've got to locate human dignity back in the very fact of being human, because once we start to define it and attach it to various characteristics, we're in real trouble, and especially as we get these new prenatal screens where it's so easy to pick out the characteristics that we decide are flawed. And so, once again, making that case in the public square as Christians is vitally important. Making it with faith, yes, but also reason, that the only thing binding us all together at the end of the day that we can all agree upon is that your dignity should stem from the fact that you are a human being. And as Christians, of course, we know a child of God. And that's where the argument should begin and end. Unfortunately, that's not the case, but that is the argument we should be making out there every day.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns on the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, when we come back live this Thursday afternoon, the 23rd of June, we're going to spend the next half hour of today's program with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University. We'll be talking about Christianity, politics, being a Christian citizen in a world that is decidedly secular. How do we sort out the issues? What does the Bible have to say? We'll be right back. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Sanctity of life upheld in the armed forces.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Pro-lifers scored a major victory recently when Congress passed the Department of Defense funding bill while maintaining the bill's pro-life provisions, namely a prohibition on abortion on military bases. Even though such a ban has existed since 1996, Democrats tried twice to push the bill through without the prohibition, but failed, which means the pro-life protections will stay in place at least until 2013. In addition to sanctity of life issues, proponents of the ban argued that allowing abortions on military bases would undermine morale and also discourage young doctors from serving in the military.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.